Hi, I'm here with Shelby Mongan. You may know Shelby as one of two honorary Nerdalogs members. We love Shelby a lot. We were actually just talking about how she can't wait to come back and do more Your Stories, because she was a mainstay for like basically all of 2012 and the first half of 2013. And then you went to school and got smarter and stuff, but you're still cool. We still like you. So Shelby is here to talk about Natasha Sam Raimi's Trip story. Which was, it probably, like, we don't actually do this by number of votes, secret, but, like, that probably got the most actual votes anyway from this year. But I thought Shelby had a really, like, compelling reason for nominating it. So, Shelby, what spoke to you about that story?
So, like you said, I've been to a lot of Your Stories in my day, and there's a very particular sort of story that is told there, and it's loose, and it's fun, and it's sort of silly and very nerdy. Something, it's what you come to expect when you go to Your Stories, which I love. That's the sort of story I tell. That's the sort of story I love. And when Natasha got up, and I had not heard her stories before, when Natasha got up and started talking, there was this incredible grace with the way that she spoke. It was measured in a way that didn't feel forced. It was sincere, but not unbridled. It was something that I had never heard at Your Stories before. It was a different animal. And obviously, she's a seasoned storyteller. She knows what she's doing. And I think one of the joys of the show is that it's a space where people can come and be loose and do whatever they want. And it's a space where they can come and do bits. But it's also a space where you can tell a beautifully constructed, funny, but touching and intense story about an acid trip. And I just remember sitting back in my seat after she was finished and just let the rest of the story sort of wash over me. It was just nothing I had expected, and it stuck with me to this day. I gave it my highest remarks when I recommended, because I absolutely loved it.
I'm not using names in here to protect the innocent. One of the characters is Metho, so that's obvious. Anyways, it is about a journey. Sorry. A journey, trip, so to speak. My first trip of this kind. I'm not going to say anything else. I'll just start. Everything changed that day. I would try hard to remember the clouds, the church clouds, the boundless energy that pumped through our feet, and how bright colors really can be. They were sweet discoveries I'd made under his protective watch. But there was one thing that I couldn't forget, that I couldn't undo, no matter how I tried. It was the kiss, the one kiss that would change everything. Why won't the morning come faster? I need the morning to come faster. I rolled in the bed and shoved my hands into my hoodie. Soft, waxy wrappers spilled out. Oh my God, how many Tootsie Rolls did we eat? The magic was starting to lift, evaporating, leaving more questions than answers. How am I supposed to tell my boyfriend someone else kissed me? Maybe, hey, no big deal. Got you Lagunita. I know it's your favorite. Why am I covering my face with my hands? I'm so sorry. That's weird. I don't know how to say this. I didn't feel anything. I'm going to start with that. I didn't feel anything. The drugs, they play with your emotions. I didn't know. How was I supposed to tell him that my first trip felt like my first love from start to finish, but not for the reasons he'd think, and looking back for reasons he would never be able to understand or forgive? Colors. In one day, we lived countless days of color in fast forward motion, running, running, running. My roommate said, trust me. So I did. Sans watches, sans plans, fast hearts, pure joy, and then pain. When it was all gone, and I cried to know if I'd ever feel that way again. Put it in your mouth, he said. Like this? Yeah, just hold it in there for like 20 minutes, let it dissolve on your tongue. You promise, I said, I'm not gonna like die or pass out or something. Yeah, I promise, I won't let anything happen to you. Well, what do we do till then? I asked. Did you like make a playlist or something? This isn't really the type of thing you make a playlist for, Tasha. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. I pressed the paper to my tongue and smiled. Cheers. We stared at the walls and waited. This was the advent of my upper middle class upbringing and postgraduate education. Jobless, insuranceless, nearly 30, and most importantly, according to my mother, childless. I know. It's terrible. Just another normal Chicago Sunday afternoon. Chewing paper with my roommate, waiting for the world to change. I moved to my room to await the inevitable. And then I heard her voice. I can't believe you still don't have a real bed, Natasha. I thought I raised you better. I logged on to Facebook. Dang it. I'm not supposed to communicate with the outside world. Never mind. I fell back onto my frameless bed. Colored lintworms wiggle dance from the bright white brick walls, and I watch them with more trusting intensity than a human should ever place in an inanimate object. But suddenly they were alive. And then it happened. Oh my God, my teeth feel amazing. The color green. We ran, and when we got tired, we drank from the kids' water fountain in the park. The lawn smelled like crap. Fresh, steaming piles of dog crap. It was the second warmest day of Chicago spring, so of course everything smelled fresher. And the sky cupped the spherical greenness of the day. He lifted pull-ups on the train tracks, and I ate Tootsie Rolls and watched. He said, we can go anywhere. Thinking. Let's keep running, I said. Pilsen streets loop through endless Mexican families until the city. He waved at me. There's this field I found. Oh my God, there are fields in Pilsen? How could you not tell me there are fields in Pilsen? The blue sky punched up his aqua eyes, and I followed his pace in my bouncy winter boots. Look at this pile, he said. He conquered trash heaps. Oh my gosh, it's a cement block on a wooden crate. How the hell did they move a cement block on top of a wooden crate? I shook my head. I have no idea, but I love that this pile is so interesting to you right now. Abandoned fields of non sequitur, construction pieces and corner store bottles, a muddy long sleeve shirt with buttons on the ground. But now he pulled me up onto his trash pile and sex charged through my body. I never, ever thought land grabs could be so erotic. Back home, we shared space. Craigslist camping buddies, pushed together by lack of money. This must be how Nicole Kidman felt for Tom Cruise in Far and Away. Or how Pocahontas felt for John Smith in Pocahontas. My boyfriend's voice slipped into my ears and I felt shame. Let's go, I said. Blue. It took us 5 hours to find a taco in Pilsen. Nothing taco related should take 5 hours in Pilsen. Somehow, instead, we found the only church's chicken south of downtown. I looked at the menu. There is way too much chicken on this menu to decide, I said. Wild-eyed and rosy-cheeked, he sidestepped the door for another chicken-eager couple. Yeah, he looked behind the counter for a sign of a tortilla. The girl behind the counter looked like Kip from Napoleon Dynamite. Latin Kip in an apron and hat. Do you want grilled or fried? It was way too much for us. We left. On the train tracks again. That was the best taco I ever had, he said, hanging from the stairs underneath the tracks. We watched the clouds drift in lava lamp time. Oh my God, it looks like the ocean, I whispered. I could watch this all day. Hey, what are you two doing on the tracks? Officer Rotund hopped out of his cop car while his Trollo sidekick guarded the steering wheel. My roommate said, just looking at this tree, officer. as he tugged onto the only treeless, rootless stick hanging from the fence that protected us from the officer's power. All right, well, be careful, he warned, shaking his head and laughing. We turned in stunned relief and stunned, breathless, giddy disbelief. Just looking at this tree, officer, I grabbed his arm. I can't believe he bought that. Purple. I am never going to feel this way again, am I? I stared down the tracks at the sleeping engines. He climbed the cars, green, orange, yellow. The pastels, the rhythm, the endless tracks with no owner. And bitter epiphany spilled up from the purple limestone hugging my feet. Kubla Khan. I get it now. The opium and the paradise cave. Colors like no other world. Why didn't anyone tell me about this before? How could they keep this from me? I was so angry at the world. We closed the distance between us. Best friend camping buddies with a secret. Shafted exes trying to recover from separate romances. Like an arcade ball in that 70s lap game where you have to drive the metal sticks to keep it going back and forth. Wider and closer, moving momentum, don't let it fall. I wiped the tears from my eyes, but he knew. He hugged me close and I leaned in. We straddled the cement barricades and watched Dusk City below through the fence. Why do we do it? I asked. We just keep going day after day for no reason. Work and jobs. There's so little down there. Doesn't anybody else know that this place exists? I don't know, he said. I don't know why we do it. I guess it's just life and some people feel that they have to. I asked him, did you ever take your ex-girlfriend here? To the tracks? No, but we tripped together for sure. What'd you do? I don't know. We had fun, I guess. It was just different. Do you think you'll ever feel that way again? I said. You mean love someone? I don't know. She really fucked me up. Yeah, I know, I said. We could make a web series out of your life. I mean out of my life. I keep thinking in my head, what if my boyfriend doesn't get it? I mean, I don't think he's seen what we've seen. He won't even cross the street if the light's not green. He's scared of heights. He doesn't even like to fly on a good day. We could make a web series out of our fucked up lives. And then I saw it. I watched him feel his purple. Watered eyes, he put his hoodie up, and he balance beamed the barrier and walked away. Ready to go, he said. Yeah, where do you want to go? Let's go home. Inside the apartment, the air was still, and the street moved like waves outside. But the air stood still. On his workshop floor hours earlier, we'd laid on our bellies and measured the air with his measuring tape. Until our eyes cried and our mouths dried from laughing. Watching TV, but my legs still wanted to run. Do your teeth still feel amazing, he said. No, I laughed. My whole face does. And then he kissed me. I struggle to remember already the hue flesh pixel of that journey, of that trip, of our movement out of real life for just one day. But if I could do things over, I would have been more careful. Because I should have. I would have been less free, because that would have been the right way to do it. I would have been less relaxed. And if it meant that that kiss wouldn't have happened and my boyfriend still trusted me, I would have taken almost all of it back. But I wouldn't have given up the friendship and the fellowship that made it happen in the first place.